Well, good morning and welcome to Second Baptist Church. So glad that you are here and looking forward to worshiping the Lord together today. Excited about our time together. I know we have several on vacation and all sorts of activities happening during the summer. And so, but we are grateful for the opportunity to gather together, to worship the Lord together, and thankful for you being here in person or online, either way. We're excited that you're here. If you're a guest, we would love to connect with you. We can do that in one of two ways. The first way is there should be a card in the pew back in front of you. If you want to fill that card out and leave information with us, and that just lets us know who's worshiping with us today, and we can connect with you. And we're just grateful for the opportunity for you to be here with us. The other way that we can connect with you, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. You fill that information out, and again, that's a chance for us to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us, and we're excited and thankful that you chose to be with us this morning. In just a few moments, we are going to pray together and ask God's hand to be upon our service, ask Him to meet with us that we may know and worship Him. I want to make you aware of a couple things. Please be praying for Pastor Jonathan and some of our students who are headed to Perrin tomorrow for, Engage Camp at Camp Perrin. And so just be praying for them. And then also I want to invite you back tonight, 5 o'clock, as we gather for a time of prayer and just really spend some time praying for needs in our family. Just praying for needs in our community, in our country, and around the world. And so looking forward to that time of prayer. Hope that you'll make an emphasis to be with us tonight at 5 o'clock. All right? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will sing together. God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. And so, God, we thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do. And God, I just thank you for how you love and care for us. God in heaven, I pray that, God, you be glorified this morning. I pray that you would help us to focus our hearts and minds upon you. Lord, help us to, God, be sensitive to the leadership of your Spirit, worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, hide us behind your cross, fill us with your Spirit. And God, I pray that you be glorified in this time together. And Lord, we just love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You stand as we sing.
Oh, Does indeed save.
Hope is dawning bright. Jesus saves. All the saints who shout together, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Rising up so vast and strong, lifting up salvation song. The redeemed will sing forever.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good.
What Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever.
He's good this morning, isn't he?
God, you're so good.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Psalms and turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I don't know if we all deserve a participation trophy or not, maybe for making it through the book of Hebrews, but we did it. Journeyed our way through, and so just going to take the next several weeks and pick out a few psalms here and there and just walk through some of these and just spend some time learning and gleaning from the Word of God out of the book of Psalms. Several have mentioned it, and I told the story last Sunday night, but I thought I would maybe go ahead and share with you this morning. Mentioned to you last week, I had a great trip in Africa, a lot of different memories, a lot of great things. One of the more exciting moments was in Mole National Park. We had completed our work of ministry and time there, and Moose, one of the locals we worked with there, really wanted to make sure that those of us that were in the country for the first time got to experience certain parts of Ghana. And not just the small region in which we worked. And so we traveled to different places, and we went to some different sightseeing opportunities, one of those being Mole National Park, where they have a safari. And so it's thousands of square kilometers, major national park, no high fence, but a lot of what we would refer to as exotic animals, okay? And so we go to pull up, and as we're pulling up, Moose says casually, hey, don't leave your doors open because the baboons will come in. Got it. Now, I'm a country boy, so you say don't leave your door open, that means the screen door is shut, but the big door, it's wide open, okay? You just walk in. Now, what he was trying to communicate was lock your door. This Arkansas boy, I didn't get the translation, all right? And so, nonetheless, we were supposed to go on a safari that evening. We didn't get a chance to go on the safari. And so we're just kind of there hanging out, different things. And so, got a hotel room. And think about it as kind of a lower end hotel in America. It's just one, there's these single standalone buildings with 5, 6, 10 hotel style rooms in them. Okay, the one we were staying in had twin beds in it. And so there were me and two other guys. One of them was 13 or 14 years old. His parents were on the trip. And then one, his dad is the pastor that led the trip. He was there. So we're staying in this room. The older young man, his name is Clay. The younger teenager, his name is Cole. And so Cole had gone to see his parents or something, and I'd come in, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, went in, shut the door, sit down, and Clay and I are just talking, we're conversing. And out of nowhere, I hear the door handle begin to open, and I'm thinking, oh, it's Cole, he's coming back. And lo and behold, a baboon walks in about that tall. Like he owned the place. And for about 90 seconds, he did. He could have it. They told us that, hey, if they get in your room, be prepared because they're going to destroy everything. They're looking for food. Now, remember, we didn't get our bags when we got in Ghana. Matter of fact, nobody got their bags for 5 days. I got my bag on the 6th day. So I packed enough snacks for several days, have not had those very much, plus some of those travel days, so couldn't get in them. So there are plenty of snacks. I mean, beef jerky and all kinds of stuff in my suitcase. And it is laid open on the bed with the one inside zipper closed up, kind of sealing off the snacks. And so the baboon climbs up on my bed first. I thought, oh, great. I've had my bags about 3 days, and now it's just obliterated. It's gone or whatever. He's not a reader because there was a book laying on top and he just swiped that out of the way. He was not looking for any reading material. And so he snooped around, couldn't figure out how to get to my snacks just so easily. Went over to Clay's bag. Clay's bag was zipped up all nice and tidy and he well prepared. And so the baboon couldn't make of anything of that. Well, then he goes over to young Cole's bag, who's not in the room, and walks up to his backpack, and I'm telling y'all, it's like me or you walked up to it, and he took and zoop, zipped that thing open, opened that, and he is pulling stuff out. He is looking. He is looking for some bags. In the meantime, as any reasonable human would, I picked up a chair, and just in case, trying to create some distance, and through the course of this, Clay was trying to shoo him out. He wasn't bothered by him. At one point, I hollered just a little bit at him, and he startled. And so you'd be proud. I put my good preacher voice on, and I preached that sucker out of the room. So I shouted that dude down, and so he took off, which was exciting because some of the ladies who were on our trip, some of the girls on our trip, they were in the middle of a nap, and I woke up the whole complex. And so he left. So there you have it. Had a baboon visit our room. A lot of fun. Exciting time. So anyway, it was an incredible trip. Thank you again for praying, and thank you for being a sending church that impacts the nations with the gospel. And so this morning I want to preach to you beginning in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 1. We're going to read this entire psalm. So if you found your place and you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And I'm reading out of the New King James this morning. And the Word of God says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let me pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the richness and the truth of your word. I pray this morning that you'd be exalted, you'd be glorified. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, we just love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Well, the book of Psalms is a fascinating book. It covers a variety of topics, and it has a variety of approaches to talk about biblical truth and the things of God. And many believe that this first psalm is intentionally written and placed here as if to set the stage for the rest of the book. And I believe it's fitting. We don't know definitively if that's what happened, but it is fitting because this psalm compares, we're going to see, the godly and the ungodly, those who follow the ways and the things of God versus those who do not. And we'll see the compare and contrast of those. And you can be sure that's a lot of what the Psalms do. Tell us what the people of God, how they live a godly life, how they pursue the things of God, how they worship God, all that God has done, as compared and contrasted to those who are wicked, those that are ungodly, those that are sinners. And so it seems that this first psalm is given to us by way of setting the stage for the rest of the book. And so this morning I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, Be Blessed. Listen, I don't imagine there's anybody here, anybody among us this morning, anybody listening online that doesn't want to be blessed by God. I certainly do. I want to be in a position in which God can bless me. And, Wiersbe wrote it this way. He said this. He said, God enjoys blessing your life, but you must be blessable. I think what Wiersbe's trying to communicate, listen, we want to all experience the blessing of God, the hand of favor of God in our life. But at the same time, we have to put ourselves in a position in which God can do that. God wants to do that. Now listen, I realize that a lot of us, we hear, we want to be blessed by God, we want to be favored by God. Some of us have an immediate cringe to it because we think about the prosperity gospel and the twisting and the perverting of this idea that the Bible does carry, that He blesses the people of God, but they pervert that, those that preach the prosperity gospel, and it's as if I live in a certain way, God's going to give me a Lamborghini, or God's going to give me this job, or whatever it is, like that's a perversion of this, but rather talking about something much greater, something of much more significance, is the hand and favor and the blessing of God. It's a biblical truth. It's a biblical reality. And we're going to see this morning how you and I, as children of God, can experience the blessing, and we've already sang about it this morning, the goodness of God, that God really is good. And God wants to bless His children and bless His people. So the main idea of the text is this: a blessed man is a man in pursuit of God. A blessed man, a blessed woman, a blessed child is one who is in active pursuit of God Himself in the things of God. And so then I just ask you this morning as our key question, are you pursuing the things of God in your life? Are you active? Are you daily? Are you in pursuit of God's will and God's plan and God's purpose for your life? Are you pursuing Him? And not just what He can give you, not just what He can bless you with, not just what He can do for you, but are you pursuing a relationship with a holy God? And so I want us to just take a moment and see what this psalm says about some warnings for us, some encouragement for us, how we ought to live, how we can pursue God and all of who He is. And so there are three truths I want us to see. Number one, the life of a blessed man is steady. The life of a blessed man is steady. So let's look at this together. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed, there it is. It begins right there. Some have translated this in terms of happy or happiness. I think there's a much, although that is an accurate translation, there's a much deeper richness to this word than just what we think about as happy. Okay? But he says, blessed is the man, blessed is the man. And then he defines what that man is or who that man is or what he does, or better in verse 1, what he does not do. So notice this, he gives us three negatives here in verse 1. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you mark or underline your Bible, I want you to mark or underline walks. And I also want you to mark or underline ungodly. What I want you to see here, there's going to be a progression that takes place. He's going to give us a warning about a natural progression that can happen if you and I are not careful. So remember, we're talking about want to be blessed by God, want to pursue the things of God. So the individual that surrenders their heart and life to Jesus and is in pursuit of the things of God, there's three warnings here that he gives us. First of all, you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So get this picture. It's literally a picture. It's an idea of passing by. Just sort of meandering around the ungodly. And now listen, the idea of this ungodly are not ones that are just adamant in hatred of God. We're going to get to those individuals. But these are just sort of nominal believers, if you will. These are individuals that are okay with you following Jesus. They're okay with you going to church. They're okay with you being in pursuit of sorts, but they just sort of kind of put God in a box a little bit over here by himself, and he's to remain in the spiritual things, but the rest of your life, you know, you don't really need God. There's this progression that is taking place. I want you to see this. So, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so what the idea is that you as a believer, you begin to kind of walk alongside those that are maybe unbelievers, those that are ungodly. Now, they don't have a hatred for God. They're culturally Christians. But they're not really followers of Jesus. There's a difference. Do you hear me this morning? Listen, I know this is hard for us to grab a hold of, hard for us to swallow. Sometimes these be folks in the church. Because I hope you realize this morning, you can be right and faithful in the church and not be right with God. And so he says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Friend, you got to be careful about who you're taking counsel from, who you're getting some instructions from, who you're learning to live life next to, because if you're not careful, you'll let some people who don't know God, who are not pursuing the things of God, speak some things into your life, and you'll begin to believe it and buy into it. And it'll negatively impact your life. It will not put you in a position where you can experience the blessing of God. Friend, we've got to be careful. Got to be careful who we let speak into our life. So then he goes on. He says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands, note of the progression, in the path of sinners. So mark, underline this. Circle, underline, mark, stands, and then sinners. Okay? So notice again the progression. He goes from an individual who's walking to the next progression is standing. And I believe this is intentional. And so what will happen is that, and we're going to, the last progression is sitting. You and I as believers, we're probably in a position where we're not suddenly going to run to the most ungodly people and go and sit down and just let them teach us about how we ought to live life or what we ought to believe, how we ought to pursue or, and what we ought to put our time and effort and energy into. But what will happen is this progression will take place as you're not walking faithfully with the Lord and you're not pursuing the things of God. You're walking along and you let ungodly individuals begin to try to shape you, to transform you, to impact you. And next thing you know, you're not walking anymore, but you're standing. And now notice the language here, not just with the ungodly, but with the sinners. And the language there in the original is a progression. That it's no longer just people that don't, they're not really too concerned with the things of God. They're just sort of cultural Christians. But this idea of sinners that are here, they are living a life that is directly against the things of God. And so I hope you're catching this progression. Blessed is a man that doesn't walk with the ungodly. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the presence with sinners. But then notice this third one, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Mark or underline seat and mark or underline scornful. Here's the full progression. The scornful here, these are the atheists that have a hatred for God. These are individuals that are absolutely antagonistic against the things of God. These are the ones that are making the headlines that are causing all kinds of problems in our country because they can't stand for somebody to stand and pray in front of a public event, or they don't want the Bible taught as a historically authentic, real Word of God. They hate the things of God. And so notice this progression. He says, you don't walk with the ungodly, you don't stand in the there with the sinners, and you don't sit with the scornful. Why doesn't he just end with this, or he doesn't just deal with this one, this sitting with the scornful? Because again, you and I rarely will go from being faithful, pursuing the things of God, to all of a sudden we're sitting with the people who hate God and hate the things of God. It's a slow erosion that takes place. So he says, you want to be in a place where you can be blessed by God. He begins with this negative warning. Let me tell you what not to do. And we need to hear this, church. Because we have all of these more than ever present in our nation, in our country, in our culture. Have we not seen, if ever before, the hatred for the things of God lately in our culture, in our society? A disdain for the way God has created us. A disdain that God has created us male and female. A disdain that God has created marriage between one man and one woman. A disdain for the hatred that God values every single life inside and outside the womb. At the beginning of life and at the end of life. We see a hatred for the things of God. And you and I, if we're going to experience the blessing of God and we're going to pursue the things of God, we've got to be really careful who we're allowing to teach us and influence us. Now, let me hit pause. You all know this very well. My heartbeat is to see the gospel to go to the ends of the nation. I am passionate about us being a church that shares the gospel of Jesus. That we go on mission trips, that we are intentional, that you're intentional in your workplace, you're intentional in your neighborhoods, all those sorts of things. This is not a contradiction of saying, how in the world are we supposed to go and share the gospel, but we can't walk by, we can't stand, we can't sit. It's not in a literal sense, it's in a figurative sense of how you're allowing individuals to try to teach you, how you're allowing darkness to try to creep into your life rather than being the salt and light of the world going into the world, seeking to make a change through the power of the gospel of Jesus. Vastly different. And so the life of a blessed man is steady. Notice verse 2. He continues on. So notice the contrast. Walk not, stands not, sits, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But there's the contrast, okay? Here's the change. Here's the negative, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So rather than his delight being in listening to somebody, man, they've got a different viewpoint. I've never really heard that before. They don't really care about the things of God. They're not interested in that. But I'll listen, and man, we begin to let people influence us who ought to have no. They shouldn't have our ear. Not for the sake of our influence or their influence on our lives. But the contrast is this, that His delight is in the law of the Lord. What is that? It is the Word of God and the truth of God's Scripture. And so the contrast is, rather than let sinful man and wicked individuals try to influence us and change and shape us and impact our worldview, there is one thing that ought to be impacting our worldview, and it is the Word of God. Church, that was a good place to say amen. Everybody okay? I know it's hot outside, and we ain't had no rain. But His delight, His delight is in the law of the Lord. I don't know if you saw it, but I posted a picture. I guess it was 2 days ago now. John, we got some deer meat out. And we marinated it. And then we got flour, milk. We dredged it up, battered it. Got the cast iron skillet out, a little bit of oil. You hungry yet? Amen. We'll just fried deer meat. I like fried deer meat. And mashed taters and macaroni and cheese. But friends, our delight ought to be in the Word of God. In the things of God. If you're going to be blessed by God, let me give it to you in one sentence and you can nap through the rest of the sermon, okay? All right? Fall in love with the Word of God. Fall absolutely in love with the Word of God. Consume it. Read it, study it, learn it, spend time studying with others. And get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you. He says, don't do these things. Don't walk with the ungodly. Don't stand with the sinners. Don't sit with the scornful, those that have a hatred for God. But on contrast, rather than that, delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Develop an appetite for the things of God and for the Word of God. And you do that by feeding on the Word of God. The reality is, man, you say, how do I delight in it? How do I begin to love it? You spend time in it. Spend time reading. Spend time studying. Spend time learning the Word of God. The more that you take in, the more that God speaks to you, the more hungry and desperate you become for it. So he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And listen to this. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You know that word meditation is a chewing. It's a gnawing on. It's a chewing of the cud. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be guilty of, I'm supposed to read Psalm 1 today, and I open it up, and I know you never do this. You're really spiritual, but sometimes I do. I read it nearly as fast as humanly possible and then close it up, and I know you don't do this. I go check a box, and you know, I feel better about myself for that day. I read it. Now, you ask me about 20 minutes later, and I don't have the foggiest idea of what I read. Now, I realize y'all are really spiritual. I'm not. You don't ever struggle with this. And I'm glad. I'm really grateful. But pray for your preacher, all right? Because, listen, it says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night. And I realize we all have jobs. We all have families. We all have things that we've got to do and take care of. And I'm not saying you need to neglect those things. I'm just telling you, friend, if you want to experience the blessing of God in your life, you better learn to fall in love with the Word of God, and you better learn to figure out how to be mindful of the Word of God throughout the day, at the beginning of your day and at the end of your day. And if you need a reading plan, that's great. If a reading plan becomes a problem for you where you just, it's more about checking off the box than spending time with God, then throw the reading plan away. When you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you how many times did you read through the Bible in a year. I really believe that. He's not going to ask you that. But man, when you get to the end of your life, are you going to think, man, did I meditate in the Word of God? Did I delight in the Word of God? Verse 3 describes this man. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I want you to listen again to this picture. Now, this is... He says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There's the picture that there's no drought for this tree. There's no dry season for this tree. Now, we're in a dry season, right? And God in heaven, we need some rain, right? It is dry. But the picture here is the man that refrains from walking, standing, and sitting with ungodly, sinful, scornful people, but on contrast, he delights in the Word of God. He reads the Word of God. He studies the Word of God. He memorizes the Word of God. Then what is true about that individual? He is like a tree that is planted by the water, meaning that the roots are down deep and that the substance that it needs to grow, the water that it needs to produce is always there. It never runs dry. Friend, can I tell you this morning that if you'll spend time in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, spending time in the Word of God, that it will never run dry. It'll never get old. You'll never get to a point where you go, oh yeah, man, you know, that just doesn't help me anymore. That's the beauty, that it's the Word of God. And listen to the language here. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It continues to produce. It continues to minister. It continues to build up, correct, instruct. And that's the beauty that's here. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Notice this, that brings forth fruit in its season. You think about all the incredible peach trees you've ever seen in your life. You think, boy, if I could just have that peach tree, Sherry, where it always had peaches. Always. That would be a gold mine. It would be a special treat. Friend, do you hear what the Word of God is telling you? Is that you can be an individual who walks so closely with God, that spends time in His Word, that grows with the things of God, that you be planted, they always have what you need, but you're always producing fruit. Fruits of righteousness. There is no such thing as walking closely with God, spending time in His Word, and being a fruitless Christian. I said that up here. I didn't want to be down there when I said that. But when you're walking with the Lord, you're spending time with Him, the Word of God and the Spirit of God always does what He promises He'll do, and that is produce fruit. John 15:5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The vine is always producing. And so He promises if you'll walk with Him, you'll have what you need. You'll produce fruit. Then notice, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. I got back from Africa and it was pretty nice and comfortable there, and I got home and I felt like I just showed up in Africa, at least with all you hear. It was dry and hot, and it's still dry and hot. And we had had a few days away and came back, and I got back to the house the day before Daydream and the kids did, and I looked, and her hydrangea bushes in the front, they were not good. The leaves were just hanging down, droopy, in tough shape. And so I watered them that evening, and I went out the next day, and the largest of all three that are there in the front, the leaves are back, standing up, showing signs of health. And friend, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you may feel like what it feels like in Arkansas right now. Maybe it's a little bit dry in your life. Maybe you feel like there's a drought. Maybe you feel like your leaves are withered and that you're struggling. Friend, can I tell you the source in your life is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Being obedient to the things of God in your life. And friend, if you'll learn to lean on the Word of God and spend time in the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, it'll be like a fresh drink to your soul. And I tell you, recently, man, our family just went through some tough times personally and just some things going on. And man, there was a lot of untruths that were being said about my wife, about our family, just different things. And not totally church related, okay? But just going through a season where it was hard. And was just so desperate to hear truth. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but we had a few days where it was like, man, I just woke up one morning and go, God, I'm desperate just for people to be truthful and honest. And I've never done this before, but I was so hungry and desperate for it. I got to church, and I'd spent some time with the Lord, spent some time in His Word, and just the Spirit of God nudged my heart to remind me that I have truth. And I was so desperate for truth that I came in here, lights were off, and I opened up the Word of God right here, and I just began to read the Word of God. Because I know this is absolute truth. I know this is real. And I'll tell you, I just spent some time reading the Word of God, and it was as if it was a hot summer day and somebody took a giant glass of cold water and gave it to me, and I just drank from it. It nourished and replenished my soul in a way that I can't explain to you. But friend, I believe that's what the Word of God will do if we'll go to it every day and spend time in His Word and spend time with Him. Joshua 1:8 says this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Jeremiah 17:8 says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Friend, let me say this before I leave this and go on to point number two. Our nation and our country is going to become far more desolate and dry. I'm not just talking about physical rain. I'm talking spiritually. And what is going to stand out even more than it ever has are green trees planted by the river. Lives that are well nourished, well taken care of, and that will only be followers of Jesus who are being obedient to and following the things and plans and purposes of God. So number one, the life of a blessed man is steady. Number two, the life of a wicked man is shaky. Listen to verse 4 and 5. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So I want you to hear this, verses 1 through 3. This is what a blessed man does not do. This is what a blessed man does. And that blessed man, his leaves will be green. He will produce fruit. He doesn't have to worry about these droughts and these dry seasons. So what's the contrast then? Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. Rather, they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So hear the contrast. The tree, the roots are down deep. They're spread out because they're enjoying all that the river brings. They're enjoying the substance, the nutrient, all that that provides. On the contrast, it's not even the contrast here is the ungodly. They're not even a tree that is dry, but rather they're just chaff. There's no weight, there's no substance, there's no value to it. It says the wind easily drives them away. And listen to what he says about them. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I read one commentator, which must have been a dad, because his dad joke got inserted here. He read this. He said, we would say it like this, that the ungodly would not have a leg to stand on. So there you go. You appreciate that and use that. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's no surety. There's no steadfastness. There's no foundation to their existence after this life. There's nothing to hold them firm. There's nothing to keep them. Hosea 13:3 says, therefore they shall be like the morning cloud and like the early dew that passes away, like chaff blown off from a threshing floor and like smoke from a chimney. Job 21:18 says, they are like straw before the wind and the chaff that his storm carries away. Friend, you can either walk and pursue the things of God and be established and be firm. Young people, you can let individual just speak all kinds of things into your life and try to shape you and mold you. Or you can meditate, study, know the Word of God, follow the things of God, pursue the things of God. But an individual that's ungodly, an individual that's wicked, that has no foundation to their life, they're blown around all over the place. There's nothing steady about it. They are shaky. Sometimes folks experience this in their life. Where, man, one day to the next, you're at a high, you're at a low, you're at a high, you're at a low. And it may be that you're not in pursuit of the things of God. Oh, sure, you have moments and you have seasons. You have times where you show up to youth group, or times that you show up to prayer meeting, or you show up to church, or times where you read a devotional, or you read this, or you read that. Maybe even January 1, you've got the Bible in a year plan or the Bible in 2 years plan, and you do in moments of seasons, but there's nothing sure, there's nothing steady about it. Friend, I want to encourage you, it's hard to experience the full manifest blessing of God when you're not in pursuit of Him and pursuing His Word. Number three. So number one, the life of a blessed man is steady. Number two, the life of a wicked man is shaky. And number three, the eternity of both men is sure. The eternity of both men is sure. Look at Psalm 1:6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. By the way, you may mark or underline this word knows. There's a greater depth to this. Not just know about, but cares. He considers. He, He is mindful of. And so what's He saying? The Lord knows. He cares about. He is mindful of the way of the righteous. So those that are walking with the Lord, those that are in pursuit of the things of God, He knows them. He knows their way. And there is surety to where they will spend eternity. There is surety about their relationship with the Holy God. But then listen to the last part. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. As equally sure of the eternal security of an individual who repents of their sin and places their faith and trust in life in Jesus, as equally sure as that individual is of heaven and the promise of the Bible that we'll have all eternity in heaven, equally as sure as the individual who's never repented of their sins, never placed their faith and trust in Jesus, will be forever separated from the things of God. And a psalmist here is writing this compare and contrast of this is what a blessed man doesn't do, this is what a blessed man does, this is what God has done in his life, this is what God promises, and this is what the wicked, the ungodly, the scornful, this is what they experience. And the Bible says this, that they will perish. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And listen to this, and He knows those who trust Him. The Lord won't be confused by who are His and who are not His. He knows, surely. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, a solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those are His. And listen to this, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Friend, the Psalm 1 sets the stage for the rest of the book, but it also sets a stage for you and I here in a synopsis of what the entire book will teach us. Listen, the very first word that we have in our text this morning is blessed, and the final word is perish. It's this ultimate compare and contrast that if you want to experience the blessing of God in your life, first of all, you need to repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. In Jesus and Jesus alone. And in out of that relationship, I don't let individuals influence what I think or what I believe that don't pursue the things of God. But rather, I pursue the Word of God, spend time in His Word, meditate in it, spend time in His Word, and let the Word of God do what it promises to do, correct, train, instruct. And it produces fruit in my life. It ought to produce fruit in your life. Or we can live our life any way we want to. God gives us that free will and that free choice. We can live it as ungodly as we desire to. But at the end of the life, the Bible says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. So dear friend, if you've not yet surrendered your life and heart to Jesus, I want to beg you, won't you do that today? Those of you, many of you, surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, you may say, man, I'm just in a dry season. I'm in a season where, man, it's just dry and empty. I would just simply ask you this. Man, what are you doing in your prayer time? What are you having a daily time where it's just you and the Word of God alone? Begging for the Spirit of God to speak to you. Are you doing anything to memorize the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God? You doing anything to keep the Word of God in front of you on a regular basis? I want to challenge you. I realize it's not January 1, and January 1's not coming for several months, but it's okay. You can start today. Parents, I want to challenge you. We've got to get the Word of God and keep the Word of God in front of our kids. There's a lot of influences that want to shape our children in their mind, but there's no greater tool that may shape our kids' mind than the Word of God. And so we got to figure out how to do that. Be diligent about it. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. And God, I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, God, that needs to respond for salvation, I pray you'd speak to their heart. God, give them grace to repent of their sin and place their faith and trust in you. And if that's you this morning, would you pray something like this? Would you say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name." In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. If you just prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to come forward and take my hand in just a moment. Say, "Hey, Brother Chris, Pastor, I asked Jesus to save me and be the boss of my life. I meant it with all my heart." Some of you this morning say, "Pastor Chris, man, my life's just been dry. Been in a dry season, been struggling. I want to challenge you." And maybe you come get on this altar and just ask God. Ask God to forgive you for not pursuing His Word. But ask God to help you to get in His Word, spend time with Him, to pursue Him. And maybe you're in an incredible season where God's really blessing your life. Man, there's all kinds of fruit in your life. I just want to challenge you. Won't you spend the next few moments thanking God for being faithful to you and being good? God in heaven, I pray in these next few moments that, God, we would respond to you out of obedience. And Lord, you be glorified in this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer, if God spoke to your heart this morning, you come and be obedient to Him.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. Grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. If you're a guest, we'd love to connect with you. And so grateful that you've chosen to be with us. I'm going to ask our men, if you begin to take your places, that you can help us receive the offering as we leave. This is just an opportunity for us to continue our time of worship. The Lord has called us to give. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And so I hope that as we have an opportunity to give today, you give out of an abundance of what God has already blessed us with, and give with the attitude that it's a blessing for us to be able to give back to the Lord what He's first given us, and that we do it with a cheerful heart. And so thank you so much. I'm grateful for you, and I hope you'll make it back tonight, 5 o'clock, as we gather together for a time of prayer. And just looking forward to that time. Okay, well, let's stand together, and I will lead us in a word of prayer as we dismiss. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for all things. God, thank you for your word. God, help us to spend time in your word, that we delight ourselves in the word of God and the things of God, and that we would pursue those. And God, thank you for your faithfulness to bless our lives as a result of that pursuit. And God, help us to live in a way this week that brings honor and glory to your name. God, I pray that as we give today, we would give out of a cheerful heart and a grateful heart. Lord, we love you, praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.